tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, you know, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I'll tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move! Move!
Hello and welcome along to the GA Scores podcast. My name's Conor Donnelly and I'm joined by Pierce Corcoran.
Welcome, Conor.
Thank you. Thanks for the welcome. And Ryan McCluskey as well.
Hello all.
So the football's all over now for the season. We had an absolute classic of a final. Kerry are the All-Ireland champions, 2-9 to Donegal's 12 points. Now, Ryan, be honest, at the start of the season, I know Pierce wrote them off at the start of the season, but did you really see Kerry, like, you know, claiming Sam at the end of the championship?
Definitely not. I never even probably had them in my last kind of four, the provincial kind of, I knew they would win their provincial, title, but when it came down to, I suppose, the last four, I never predicted them to be in that last four, to be honest. And I know I talked about a number of weeks ago as well, you know, Eamon Fitzmaurice and a fantastic job that he has done. And I think, you know, that has been highlighted to, I suppose, you know, the fantastic achievement at the weekend. But I suppose in the manner as well that they have conducted themselves throughout their campaign. And you know, they have, I suppose, you know, kind of taken the All-Ireland by storm and kind of unannounced this year. It has been a silent kind of rise in progress over the last number of seasons, and you know, my hats go off to Eamon and credit to Kerry Football, who are supposedly in transition still.
Yeah, Pierce, what about for you? Like, you retracted your statement from earlier in the season on a recent show as well, saying about Kerry's turnaround, and basically they've brought it around this year. Is it simply because of the system they've brought in, and like they really are performing as a unit more so than, say, in the past we maybe had flashes of brilliance from their individual stars, but this time there's really is like they are playing as such a team, and there really is, you know, if one part of that team isn't pulling their weight, you know, all falls apart. But they really did show that on Sunday that they, you know, they can also grind hard too.
I've been thinking a lot about this game in the last few days, and especially like considering more so the reaction it's gotten, excuse me, and the negativity around the game. This Kerry team, for me, the more I think about it, the more it reminds me of Cork in 2010, where they came up against a down team who were set to make the breakthrough and set to do fantastically well. But ultimately, Cork kind of won it by a little bit of default. Now, I'm not saying Kerry won it by default, because they earned their win a lot, and they played some fantastic football throughout the year. But I think people are overestimating how good they are on the back of that final. I thought it was a game, Kerry and Donegal last weekend, where both teams played like they had a huge amount of pressure on them. And I thought, and it was funny, because at halftime, I think it was Joe Brody said, or Kieran Whelan said, that whoever's going to win this game, it's going to be because of a mistake by the other team. And that's what happened. That's how it played out.
Yeah.
But overall, for Kerry, like, summing up their year. Now, look, at the start of the year, I said, I completely wrote them off. I didn't think they were going to go anywhere based on their league. I still don't think they're there yet. I wouldn't say that. I'm not, like, if I'm a Dublin, or if I'm a Mayo, if I'm a Donegal, well, maybe Donegal, a Tyrone, even Armagh, I'm not looking at Kerry and going, I'm being afraid. I'm looking at them kind of going, right, they put themselves up on a pedestal a little bit by some of the comments after the weekend from the likes of Pat Spillane, etc. And we'll knock them down. That's what I'm saying if I'm a member of their camp.
Yeah, well, we're going to come on to Donegal, of course, like, shortly, but Ryan, for you, Is it, you know, the reaction that people are having to this Kerry winning this All-Ireland is a maybe a bit much. Like, okay, people saying it's the worst game like they've ever watched, never mind worst final and things like this here, but does it matter? You know, if you could win in All Ireland, would you care? Like, would you really care what people say? Clearly these Kerry players don't care. Or maybe they do care too much, and that's why they're talking so much about it.
I suppose I had the pleasure recently of talking to he's a coach over in Tottenham Hotspurs. He is a local lad, and it was nice to actually sit down and talk to him about I suppose football and how the game has kind of evolved over the last number of years, and obviously this is a kind of soccer perspective, and he has said, you know, the game is so interesting, and in the fact that, you know, there's so many phases going on with teams. And he actually touched then on Arsenal, and I suppose this is the kind of point of where I'm kind of going as well. He said that Arsenal were probably the hardest team in the league to work out, because, you know, they actually just kind of go and play. You know, they haven't got that kind of many defensive roles and tactics or kind of, you know, game play situations. And it was actually then funny then to look at the weekend. And when I watched that kind of Kerry game and had the pleasure of, I suppose, sitting and taking it in live, I was actually sitting going to myself, you know, maybe Kerry have, evolved as kind of like an Arsenal kind of comparison here, where they have actually now started to kind of move with the times, and instead of like being like an Arsenal who just kind of go gung-ho and kind of go and play, you know, they've now started worrying about their defensive systems and kind of just moving with the times in the modern game. And I did say it, I think I done it in a local kind of paper, or I think it might have been one of the national papers, even when somebody asked me my opinions on the game, I said I think the only way to beat Donegal's system is to mirror that system, and that's, I think, what Donegal have done this year, and done it very, very well. You have to give, again, you know, not just Eamon Fitzmaurice credit, you have to credit all the players. You know, they've bought into everything that him and his backroom team have obviously preached throughout the year. The game plan at the weekend was, you know, completely similar to the way Donegal play. You know, you're sitting at the game at the weekend, and again, look at, you know, pundits will be controversial. They will throw out, I suppose, these ridiculous statements, you know, just to get, I suppose, more viewing figures, I suppose, a little bit more publicity on Twitter, whatever it may be. You know, they are clever people as well. They will say what they feel will get the biggest reaction. However, you know, at the game at the weekend and watching, it was just an intriguing spectacle. It was edge of the seat stuff. It was a mad mistake, obviously, what happened. But, you know, from watching, you know, the game from the very, very start, and I suppose this is something, again, you know, that I feel that the referee maybe should have stepped in and maybe taken a little bit more control of as well. Big, obviously, Durkin, you know, who I think has been outstanding throughout the season. You know, he was constantly kind of making the linesmen, umpires aware of Big Donaghy, who was obviously trying to, you know, you could say impede and try and jump past his 21 for kickouts. Now, Durkin's kickouts are obviously, you know, they would kick them quite low, and they would start off quite low with that kind of low trajectory as well. So, you know, when you have somebody 6'5", nearly 7', jumping and waving his arms and nearly in and top of your 21 and making a running movement towards that, it's very hard to get the kickouts that you want, maybe going right or left. And that's why I think Donegal had deployed that kind of shorter system and shorter kickouts than what they have been doing before. And it certainly unsettled Big Durkin. And, you know, that was possibly why, again, you know, the mistake was made. I know people said, oh, it was the sun and whatever else. But, you know, I think Kerry got that spot on. And I think they done a Donegal, you know, nearly on Donegal. And if you look back to, I suppose, Donegal beating Tyrone last year when they had two people in front of young Niall Morgan, who was kicking the place balls for Tyrone and Freeze that day. Two big men tiptoeing out and, you know, trying to stop that kind of low kind of kicking style on the ball. You know, I think they were just beaten completely at their own game. They got their matchups right from you know, the kind of first kick of the game, really. And I think, you know, Donegal didn't have that same hunger. Pierce talked about even, you know, Dublin's hunger at one stage, and that was kind of questioned. You know, it was interesting again looking at the weekend how Aidan O'Mahony was, you know, just all over Michael Murphy, in his face 24/7, and again, you know, he'd done a great marking job. And I was actually expecting Michael at one stage to you know, maybe give him a taste of his own medicine and maybe just spice the whole thing up in that sense. And it didn't happen. You know, I thought the McGees were, you know, unusually quiet for themselves as well. I thought Donaghy would have got a bit more heat and a bit more attention as well. So, you know, let's you know, not take away from Kerry. I thought they completely got it right all over the park at the weekend. And, you know, credit to them. And I suppose as well, you know, you can't, you know, I can't just say as well that, you know, they were outstanding. You know, Donegal obviously played their part in the game. I don't think they played, you know, to the best of what they can do. I think they were lacking that little bit of hunger from, I suppose, the last game as well. But, you know, they obviously played their part in what I thought was, you know, an intriguing, but it was a special encounter as well that, I suppose, yes, it highlighted, you know, defensive systems and tactics, you know, in our game.
Like, overall in that game, like, we were talking about Durkin there, who has obviously been brilliant, and they, to be honest, wouldn't have got to the final without him in nets, but would you say that maybe there's something with his kickouts maybe throughout that final weren't actually of the best of quality? It was almost like he wasn't striking them confidently. Like, even in the warm-up, he was, you know, he was practicing out on the left-hand side, and he hooked one and pinged it in the front row of the crowd. You know, like, he wasn't even doing it right when he wasn't even under pressure during the warm-up. So then I think throughout, he just wasn't kicking them with conviction or something. You know, he played one out into the left-hand side that nearly went out for a sideline, and, you know, whoever it was there, you know, just caught it just before it went inside the 21. You know, like, there was almost like a nervousness there, and nerves has been a huge word that's been used to describe this game, and both teams were guilty of being nervous, which is strange considering you look at the, all right, there's a lot of Kerry players who haven't won All-Irelands, maybe haven't been in finals, but there's still quite a lot of experience about it. But from the Donegal point of view, why were they nervous? And, you know, they were in the final 2 years ago and have full confidence. They're clearly a side that have confidence in their ability.
Donegal went into this game a little bit with a little bit of pressure, a little bit of hype on their backs. And I know some people might say, some outlets, like, I know it's speaking on hindsight, but some outlets, maybe like myself in the last few weeks on the podcast, are building them up, especially after the win against Dublin. But it's funny, I heard Mark McHugh speak at a GAA event last week, and he talked about how he thinks Ryan, and what have been playing through his mind, and thinks that Ryan won't want to be the guy, like any fella, like any young fella going into his first All-Ireland final, he won't want to be the guy remembered for losing the All-Ireland final. And that seemed to be those little buzzwords. That it wasn't particularly anything, I think, outstandingly negative, like, or outstandingly like, putting the pressure on. But just little bits can kind of build up, and
It's a little bit strange, just sorry to cut in, to say don't want to be the one that loses the final rather than saying he wants to be the one to win the final. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Exactly. Like, he was mentioning, like, I think someone said to him, like, it was a Q&A thing, and I think someone said to him, like, how's Mark or whatever, and he says, oh, I've been leaving him up to train and for the last few weeks, and, you know, I've noticed he's gone a little bit quiet in the car, and just things like that can kind of, it plays on your mind, and especially around, like, I remember just before Dublin took on Donegal in the semi-final, and I was wondering about how Jim McGuinness was going to take him on psychological wise. And I remember his comment about Dublin and comparing them to Chelsea. Yeah. And I remember thinking to myself, and I mentioned on Twitter to a few people, and I said, no, the Dubs won't be unsettled by something like that. But something like that, especially when you bring money into it. And I think that's going to be the interesting thing about how GAA plays out over the next few years, because it's almost like how people, like, money has helped the GAA expand. Some teams like Dublin have benefited very well and others or whatever. But now I think it's being used as a stick to beat teams with. And if teams are being used, and especially in the last few weeks with the helicopters, the training or whatever else, I think that adds an extra bit of, we have to perform now or else what was the money for? Like, maybe I'm wrong, and Ryan, you might be able to take that up from a player's perspective, but, like, I just thought that was kind of a little bit creeping into Donegal's game over the last few days.
I would agree there, Pierce. I think with winning, obviously, you know, and with the massive, I suppose, you know, financial rewards that are available to, well, obviously every county that wins in All-Ireland, but not just to that, I suppose, you know, there are more, I suppose, financial rewards and opportunities now available for players as well who you know, whether they like it or not, you know, are receiving more media attention and media spotlight. So, you know, yes, you know, I suppose you can say that the pressure, the demands on players, you know, and it is kind of now, you know, it is swaying towards money. And, you know, for you to kind of set yourself up on these pedestals, you have to be able to deliver, and especially on the big days. And then you're trying to I suppose, I suppose do what you can and do everything within the game to win the games. And I suppose, yes, you know, the critics at the weekend obviously made their points as well about it being a poor spectacle. And yes, you can agree, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're watching it, again, being there, it was a completely different story. But, you know, who's to say, again, Sunday's game, you know, could be, you know, the start of a new era and a new kind of, you could say, trend in football. And while people use the term puke kind of football, I don't like to use that. I would call it a kind of more clever defensive play and teams getting smarter and tactics becoming better. However, you know, there was a period, you know, in last weekend's game where I think it was in one passage of play where both teams were attacking, and at one stage they had nobody in you know, their opposing team's half, basically, and the ball was broken down on a number of occasions when they actually reached the opposing team's 45 metre line, because there was nobody in the half. And again, it went the other direction up the field, Kerry, I think, attacked, and then it came back down again. And you know, again, it was maybe the only way to beat the system, as I said, was to kind of mimic it and mirror it. So, you know, will every team adopt that now next year? What is the best way to play, you know, for ourselves and smaller, you could say, maybe weaker counties as well? You know, is that the way forward for us? You know, do we completely now just go gung-ho and have 15 players back and hope we can really hit teams, you know, on the break and beat them going forward? But, you know, these are all the ifs and buts that came from the weekend, which again made it, you know, an intriguing game and an intriguing encounter as well. But, you know, the financial rewards are obviously getting greater and greater and greater, and the media spotlight is getting more and more and more, and I suppose with Sky throwing themselves in as well this year. I know viewing figures have went up for the game, obviously, you know, abroad. So, you know, I can only see that pressure rising. And again, you know, we are probably going to edge closer, I think, towards copying rugby and heading towards that kind of either semi-professionalism or professionalism again down the line. And I think it will be inevitable that will happen in maybe the next 5-10 years.
Well, like, both Kerry and Donegal played quite defensive systems, but there was a bit of difference from their half forwards coming back. You know, when Ryan McHugh was running back, he was running head down, not even looking anywhere near the ball, just, I have to get back into my full back line or around the D. You know, whereas when Kerry were doing that and their half backs were coming back, you know, they were running, you know, they were going backwards, you know, jogging backwards, always eyeing the ball. And I was just wondering if that difference in, you know, they're both playing very defensive systems there, almost like you were saying earlier there, Ryan mirroring each other. But is it even like the attitude towards it or the application of it was slightly different, which maybe benefit Kerry in the long run? Because albeit Donegal focused on the whole, you know, protecting the D right in front of the goals, you know, Kerry do not get in there to get a shot off. Yeah, they have to shoot, you know, they have to shoot from behind that D, or they're going to have to work bloody hard to get in past it if they want to score. So was almost like the application of that there, Kerry shooting those wides into the hill there about 5 or 6 in a row, but eventually those points being picked off really did work for them.
Yeah, it was obviously it was, you know, that tactical battle that we all expected as well getting into it. I suppose it kind of going back on your last kind of statement as well, Connor. You know, Jim is always obviously going to come out, and you know, obviously if I ever went down that management route as well, you know he's always going to come out and he is always going to back his players up. I kind of find it hard to believe that any player going into an All-Ireland final can't get himself up for that. You know, as I said, you know, given the opportunity, if myself or I'm sure any other player that has not, you know, been to that level or at that level was given the chance, and given the chance maybe twice in their careers, you know, you would be grasping it. I think you have to hold your hand up and give Kerry the credit they deserve. You're right about the weekend and half backs dropping back or sorry, half forwards dropping back into them kind of pockets, you could say, and I suppose Kerry doing it more effectively. What I found interesting when they broke is obviously you know their, I suppose, yeah, it was the kind of their power, I suppose, and kind of ability to kind of break one or two tackles, even, you know, in them kind of defensive kind of pockets and how they were able then to get runners then maybe coming off them. And they did kick, you know, quite a number of wides as well, which at the time I actually thought, you know, they were going to rue those chances as well. But, you know, it didn't stop them then. You know, if they did go forward, they were bottled up. You know, they did come out and they moved the ball right, they moved the ball left. And they actually, you know, were very, very calm, I suppose. And I thought, you know, under pressure and under these situations, when other teams may have buckled, you know, they kept the ball on numerous occasions. They were very, very composed. And as I said, you know, ultimately when they got their chance, they took it. And, you know, Donegal, I believe, can really have, you know, no complaints about that. They were beaten by a better side, a hungrier side. And, you know, again, forwards more so, you know, I think were more effective on the day. So you have to, you know, hold your hand up and say that, you know, Jim was just, you know, tactically out battled at the weekend and got it wrong.
Yeah, like Kerry hitting those shots, like if they're going dead, you know, at least it didn't allow Donegal to counter attack, you know, get the possession like they did against Dublin. When the ball went dead, it was a kick out. Kerry could reset again. You know, the other option was for them to bypass that D to go long to Donaghy. But I don't know, I'll put this to you, Pierce, right? Do you think that Donegal were perhaps in their play? Right, because they were pretty slow at getting up the pitch, like as usual, you know, like they seemed a bit more ponderous or something, I don't know. But like, for you, were they a bit unambitious in their play? Were they too safe? You know what I mean? Because at least Kerry took risks now and again, whereas for Donegal, for me, just, you know, right, okay, you're playing and you're told, okay, 100% passes and things like that there. But Donegal looked like they were looking for more than that, you know, like... For me, it seemed like they were just almost so reluctant to take any kind of risk whatsoever.
The Joe Allen of Gaelic football, like.
yeah, exactly.
I think that comes back to what I was saying about the pressure in that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it was a conscious decision to be that safe. I think it was a case of, like, it's interesting what you said there about Ryan McHugh and comparing him to the Kerry players and how they tracked back. Like, Ryan McHugh turning his back to the ball and sprinting back says to me that he's panicking. That every time that Kerry got the ball, he's going, shit, I need to get back as quickly as possible. Yeah. Well, on the other side, like, for example, Dunica Walsh is going, right, they have the ball, right, I know what to do now. Like, it's very systematic, it's very tactical.
Yeah, but facing the ball the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So, just to bring it back to your original question about were they too safe, I don't think so. I just think that's their kind of football, and I think it was probably, like, in the last few minutes, right? And it's funny, like, as an aside about what Billy, what's his name, the fellow who kicked the ball off the tee? Barry John Keane. And people were saying on Twitter after, like, he only did what we all would have done and kicked it off, and it's anything for the team and that. I actually think that if Donegal had gotten that goal at the end, I think we would have been questioning Kerry's concentration. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Kerry were that, like, just to get to really get to the point there, I don't think Kerry were that more ambitious than Donegal were. I think really at the end of it, it was Paul Durgan's mistake that separated the sides. That Kerry, for large parts of it, were as ponderous and as aimless with their shooting. Mm-hmm. They played with a little bit of pressure. Not as much as obviously as a transpired as Donegal did, but I don't think there were. I think it was a case of nerves getting to both sides.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned tactics there, Ryan. A big tactic was within the opening 50 seconds or so, and both Donaghy and O'Donoghue have mentioned it, you know, in their interviews afterwards. You know, them two thinking, right, we'll pull out, you know, because they're going to be, you know, marked by the McGee brothers and leaving.
Yeah.
You know, leaving Paul Geaney in there with Paddy McGrath one-on-one. And Paul Geaney, like, underrated underneath a high ball, clearly, because I don't know if they're expecting that, but, you know, he wasn't marked by any of the McGees who would be notoriously difficult to compete with or high ball. But the way he finished that into the net, like, you know, that fantastic start really put them, obviously, on the front foot. But just that little bit of, you were talking there, Pierce, about, you know, the negativity, perhaps, of around some of the Donegal players. like, how much of a kick was that really for them? You know, it was such an open tactical thing that they came out with after the game, like almost Sam Allardyce-esque proud of it, you know.
We've actually seen it. We witnessed it obviously in the semi-finals as well, where that long ball has been effective in, and we'll come back to maybe, you're right, Big Sam's tactics as well, you know, about the long pass in. But yes, they set the stall out early, and it was going on, you know, it was going on all over the pitch. I suppose, yes, that long ball in, you know, Mr. Gainey has had an exceptional season as well, probably came in under the radar as well, even though, you know, he has ended up winning a Sigerson, I think, with UCC as well, at the start of the year. So, you know, these lads have played a lot of competitive football. For James O'Donoghue, sorry, to have made his debut, I think it was in 2011. You know, that's a man with 3 years, you know, experience under him. We knew, look, he was developing, but for him to turn into the player he has become and really flourish this season as well is a credit to himself and the work he's been doing. Again, not as potent at the weekend as we have seen him. However, you know, he had got his hands in so much ball. Again, he was one of the kind of instigators in kind of recycling play, moving the ball left, right, opening up, you know, the passages of play whenever it was crowded, and I was very impressed with him and even his running and some of his movement off the ball, where he was just taking defenders out. You know, when he was moving, two Donegal players were keeping an eye on him and they would go with him. For him to do that and move away from maybe one side of the pitch and open it up for, you know, a Buckley or again, whoever was inside, you know, Donoghue, you know, he was making these clever runs and Donegal were, you know, as well going with him. And that's the problem with Kerry. You know, you concentrate on one player, you know, another player comes on, you know, and does damage. And that's, you know, the problems you face when you face such a talented, you know, side. But, You know as well when you're playing, you know, the game, you know, you can go out, you sense these things, you feel it. You can feel it in the dressing room before if you're flat. You know, you can feel it when you're on the pitch. And, you know, I just got that from watching the game at the start, that Donegal just lacked, you know, that wee bit of that wee bit of hunger. You know, they lacked that wee bit of, again, we talk about it and we say it, it's, you know, it's nearly that, like, nasty young men syndrome, where you're going out and you have that testosterone kind of level up at your max, and, you know, you don't really care. You know, yes, you're trying to do everything you can within the rules, but you want to stretch them as much as you can as well. And I think Kerry had that. You know, they had absolutely, you know, tortured Michael Murphy. Everybody was getting, you know, treatment. It was players stopping players' runs. You know, there was little incidents going off the ball, you know, people standing on maybe toes here and there, and just, you know, getting really inside the Donegal players' heads, and something that I suppose we have been so, I suppose, used to seeing the likes of Donegal doing. And not, well, I suppose it is in a way, it is bullying sides, but it's really controlling sides and controlling the tempo of the game. I think that's where Kerry prevailed on at the weekend, and they really, you know, controlled the tempo and pace of the game. However, and saying, and this is again Pierce's point, and he made a great point, you know, unfortunately it was one mistake, you know, that was so decisive in the game, and Kerry, you know, missed a lot of chances. And for Donegal to, I believe, you know, for them to have played so kind of poorly and maybe within themselves at the weekend, there were stages when you were just waiting for Murphy to come alive. When he moved out to the middle, you know, you were just thinking, oh, you know, they're really going to kick on here. Again, McBurdy came on, kick two great scores. You're looking at, I suppose, periods in the play. If Durkin hadn't made that mistake, you know, it was set up for him to come on. He kicked those two scores. He swung another one over his shoulder, which he had every entitlement to kick. And I think, you know, it was the Kerry keeper then. It dropped into his hands. They broke and scored. And that was another kind of like pivotal point as well in the game. But, you know, if that mistake, ifs and buts, wouldn't have happened, you know, you could have seen maybe McBurdy hitting the headlines. And it could have been, you know, it could have, momentum could have swung to Donegal. But, you know, they done well to kind of, you know, keep Michael quiet. Even you know, Gallagher in the second half, who I thought had had a decent first half, keep him quiet. The likes of, you know, McHugh quiet, the McGees, and you know, I think they just got it right in the day. And you know, again, hats off to Kerry and I suppose their tactical, you could say, leaders that were working behind the scenes.
Well, like you're talking about Murphy there, Pierce. I want to put this to you as well. Like, what if Murphy was the man that was played in full forward on Mahoney? Because, I don't know, like, Colin McFadden has been quite poor all season. Like, even in that Dublin game, really, you know, when he did score the goal and that, but he wasn't too hot in it either. What if Murphy was the man in there full forward? Now, of course, you'd lose his presence out the field, which may have been crucial as well, but would that have added to Donegal, really, if they would maybe have been swapped around like that?
No. I think I'd be of the opinion that I would have started Paddy McBrearty inside instead of Colin McFadden. And I probably would have used McFadden as that impact sub in the last 15-20 minutes, because personally I think that's all he has left in him at the very top level. And no disrespect to him, because look, he has been unbelievable in past years. But I just think this year, that is something that himself and Jim will probably regret, not making a call on that and saying, look, Colm, you're not the player you were. That's no disrespect. We all move on in our careers. I think you'll be better coming on in the last 15-20 minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the role he's used for next year, and alongside maybe the likes of Rory Kavanagh, whoever decides to stay on. But because I think, and it's interesting you say that about McFadden, because I thought after 15 minutes, the one thing that was lacking from a Donegal full forward line was the ability to win the ball first and foremost, but also just take it on and just and go for score.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, credit to Kerry, Geaney, he wasn't getting much, but when he did, he had the confidence to, and the little bit of arrogance that you need as a corner forward to go for it. Just to go, no matter how many players are around you, just, you know, you make your own space.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably lacking. I think, and that's something I think Paddy McBrearty would have had if he was introduced.
And saying that though, like, McBrearty hasn't really started all year, and he has been playing that impact sub. And he came and he does that so fantastic when he gets the ball, turns, shoots, you know, like the snapshot. He's very, very good at that now, off with his left foot. But, you know, it's hard, it's difficult, because that's a tactic that's worked in games. He's come on as a sub, scored. Then for the final, you're playing him from the start, and maybe you're like, you know, he doesn't put in the same performance that maybe, you know, he wasn't too great, you know, when he was starting. Then you would have those regrets. So it's hard to deviate really from a plan like that.
And it's hard as well, you know. I've kind of watched him, I suppose, develop as well over the last number of seasons. I have been up close and personal to him in a number of games as well. Granted, not in you know, our county kind of fixtures as well, but, you know, was lucky to play against him, I suppose, as well on a number of occasions. But, you know, we talk about, I suppose, as well, you know, the strength and conditioning side, you know, in our sport, and obviously the different kind of body types, and that's coming from kind of a bit of a sports science kind of background as well. And you know, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, you know, would he be able to give you that 70 minutes? You know, he is fast, he is dynamic, he is explosive. But the question marks are there, and maybe that is something that Jim, you know, has obviously addressed and noticed as well. And, you know, players can get carried away. I have seen it as well, you know, within, you know, I suppose my own club and my own county, where players can, you know, get kind of get caught up too much, you know, in the strength and conditioning side. And I just feel he's maybe, you know, maybe lost that athletic kind of natural kind of cardiovascular, you know, side to his game, where, you know, he has that kind of, you know, he can work for sustained periods over longer time that he had been able to do maybe in the past, and especially maybe, you know, at minor level and at under 21 level. And he looks, I don't know, maybe it's just me looking at him, but he looks actually a little bit kind of heavy and a little bit kind of leggy, and he looks like a player who really could maybe give you more than those 20 minutes.
You do get that explosiveness, you know, for the, you know, those there times, but perhaps it's, you know, Jim's assessed it and he's thinking, I'd rather have that for 15 minutes than to have, okay, a 6 out of 10 performance for 70 minutes. You know, maybe that's like, you know, that, I mean, that's manageable. What about Murphy then? Because towards the end, talking about a big guy, but he still gets around the pitch. At that last stage where he was going and they were going for the equalising goal, and he had boys hanging off him, how he managed to get the ball off to McBrearty, and now, you know, it was a brilliant block on McBrearty there in front of the goal, but how Murphy managed to get through in the first place is unbelievable. And then McFadden, you know, hitting the post, now what an ending that would have been like. But you got to credit the goalkeeper as well, reacting to save as well. I don't know.
Pearce was a moment of madness, and I'm sure you'll agree. Well, I'm hoping you're going to agree with this, but I think just look at Kerry shaded it. I thought that it would have been, you know, very hard on them for them to even go to replay. I'm sure people in headquarters would have been saying otherwise. I'm sure they were all sitting licking their lips at this stage, praying that somebody up above would allow it to go in. But I think just from overall kind of game playing, and I think Kerry just shaded it, but it was definitely a moment of madness, and I'm sure Pearce will back me up on that one. A couple of seconds of madness, maybe, because it seemed to go in slow mo. Sorry,
yeah.
just about shaded, I think.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, two more wee things I want to talk about. First of all, the man of the match decision. Now you had Paul Murphy there, who was relatively an unknown, you know, before the season. I think it was Anthony Moyle said before the final that somebody perhaps that, you know, isn't a big star will become through as the, you know, as the star performer in this game, and it sort of has come true. But would you agree with that as the man of the match choice? Now, there's a few other performances out there that maybe could have warned it. I thought Peter Crowley was very good, and especially that block in the second half. Like, what do you think there, Pierce? Or is man of match maybe not that important anymore, really? Is it kind of something
Paul Murphy got man of the match, didn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been all these names like James O'Donoghue and Paul Murphy in the last few days. I've been player of the years and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Aidan O'Mahony probably had a better game than Paul Murphy.
Yeah, a lot of people are suggesting him as well. Yeah.
Like I think Paul Murphy was the kind of choice where he was very good. He did his work and he doesn't get noticed and all that kind of stuff, and he's
it's almost like at the you know,
sorry, I got a message out when I was in the middle of something there.
It's good to know we have your full attention.
I thought it was the fashionable thing
to give it
to the unknown, the I'm going to call it the Sunday game, the hipsters of the GAA, but something like that, where Paul Murphy was the unknown, he did his donkey work, and it's fashionable for GAA pundits to say it, like to back him, and look, he did well. Mm-hmm. Was he man of the match? I don't know.
You think O'Mahony, perhaps?
I probably would have gone for him.
Right.
But
I struggle with the whole man of the match. I'm sorry. I don't understand the concept of, you know, players play a team sport for that togetherness. You know, that kind of, you know, I suppose all for one for all, Musketeers. Kind of, you could say a quote. But you know, if you want individual accolades, you know, you know, go and play tennis, golf, whatever it is, players' egos. Unfortunately, if it is the wrong player who may receive something, is sitting watching themselves on the Sunday game or going to maybe an awards, and just their egos are becoming completely, you know, inflated and, you know, expanded even more, and you know, I think it can cause you know, small. It shouldn't do at all, but it can cause, you know, unnecessary, you could say, harm in changing rooms and in teams or in players. You know, I suppose I get carried away with, you know, their own egos and, you know, these individual awards, you know, and again, you know, as well. And when we look at the weekend, you're right, I could have seen the likes of Aidan O'Mahony. Again, you know, we looked at a different side of O'Donoghue. Hughes' game at the weekend, Gainey, up until, you know, he was taken off, I thought was doing very well. Buckley, the work rate that man went through, you know, at centre half forward, the spoiling he was doing off, you know, off the ball, the spoiling that he was doing on the ball, the cleverness of some of his kind of tackles, his commitment to the tackle. He won two or three, I know, great kickouts where they nearly were deploying three men in the middle, and he was that third one, and he plucked two or three from the air, and he was clever in everything that he done. If he wasn't winning ball, he was making sure to break ball, and if he wasn't breaking the ball clean, he was making sure to break, maybe, or not break an arm as such, but put on an arm in an opposing player's hand to make sure they were not catching the ball clean, and I thought he I suppose summed up everything that Kerry were good for at the weekend.
Yeah, well, just another thing, I thought that Christy Toy was pretty good for Donegal and has been for a while now, so like I think he was pretty impressive. But one man that's been talked about, you know, a lot before this game and after it now as well, thanks to his interview about Brawley, but Kieran Donaghy, like, his return to the side in the last few minutes against Mayo and rescued the team there, to be fair, with his performance, and then his, you know, his role then in the replay as well. Earlier this year, there was, you know, he was, you know, couldn't get on. I don't think he even played the quarterfinal against Galway at all, did he? I don't think he even got on the pitch. You know, he wasn't even, you know, among the first, you know, few subs for that there. His role had become much more of like a motivator, really. I heard an interview he was doing, you know, before, and he said like his role was basically, now he's of course, you can probably tell, like, he's a character that talks all the time, I'm sure, like, you know, around the team he's perhaps very good, like, and he said all year, you know, look, you know, if I'm not going to be contributing on the pitch, I'm going to contribute in the training ground, you know, talking to younger players, I was there myself, all these kind of things. But what about his return to the side now? Because when he first came onto the scene, he was definitely something a bit different. Well, maybe not a bit different, but something that, you know, that style of a high ball in had returned. But he really showed at the weekend, you know, he talked about Gooch telling him how to finish, you know, by passing it to the net. And it's something, really, this return to the team is, maybe it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it is something of a nice storyline to it, really.
Ken Donaghy's case is a difficult one for me, because, like, I've heard the narrative people have taken after this final is that Kerry wouldn't have won in All-Ireland without Kieran Donaghy. And the more I think about it, the more it really doesn't make sense for me. Because the praise that's been heaped on Kieran Donaghy, I think, is starting to take away from the unreal year that James O'Donoghue had in terms of the impact he had. Like, Kieran Donaghy did very well in the two games that he, or the three games that he played.
And we'll give him we'll probably give him an All-Star as well. Why not throw that?
Yeah, and I don't, really don't I know, but I really don't understand that, because that people are talking about Kieran Donaghy getting an All-Star, but for example, Aidan O'Shea is not apparently nowhere near the team. Like, it doesn't make sense to me at all. But anyway, just,
we had a bit of a rant on All-Stars last year, actually. We talked about it. What are the All-Stars? You know, is it picking the 15 best players, or are you actually playing position? Because Sean Kavanagh was a wing half forward, you know, in the All-Stars last year, and he played midfield the whole season. Sorry, no, back to your point.
No, exactly. Like, no, but Kieran Donaghy, he did well. He played well. He did his thing for his cause for the team. But I don't, the more I think about it, I don't see the hype that's building around him. It's like people have never seen him play before. Like, he's 6'6", he catches the ball, that's his game, you know. Like, he did very well, but he wasn't the reason Kerry won in All-Ireland.
Okay. I'd have to agree, no, it hasn't been the case at all. He has, you know, been a pivotal figure, yes, the last two games. I know the big man as well, a great character off the pitch. I can imagine him, you know, around the dressing room, and especially for the younger lads in the team. And you know, a player like that is not only to be obviously used sparingly, you could say, throughout each season, and you're trying to keep him involved for as long as you can, but a player like Kieran, you know, he must be kept, he must be retained in some manner along the kind of, you know, the Kerry kind of family tree of football, you could say as well. So I think he'd be a more important figure probably now over the next number of years, knowing his character, knowing the type of person that he is, you know, whether he is going to continue, you know, over the next number of years, and what he's going to do. But, you know, I think, look at Fitzmaurice as well, got it right with him and how he used him, you know, throughout the season as well. And, you know, Kieran has been, he's been a shining light the last two games. I'd be scratching my head if he did win an All-Star.
Well, then let me put it to you like this.
He probably has enough of them. He probably has enough of them at this stage on top of that. So,
if I put it to you like this, though, if he got an All-Star for number 14 ahead of Michael Murphy, would that be something that you would be irritating, do you think? Because Michael Murphy, you could argue, is a big reason why Donegal are in the final throughout the entire championship. And you could argue then someone like you're saying there, Aidan O'Shea Pearce, who has perhaps performed fantastically you know, his renewed sort of position and everything up until perhaps the semi-final when they got knocked out. You know, what is the preference there? Is it the majority of the championship? Is it the business end of the championship? Is it, you know, what is it gets you the All-Star? Well, both of you maybe tell me. Like, for me personally, I think Michael Murphy should be the full forward All-Star. But for if Kieran Donaghy, because he's performed in the final and a semi-final replay and the couple of minutes, well, last 5 minutes of a semi-final, was that earning him ahead of Michael Murphy?
I think it should go on both. I think our league really has to be given more substance just in general. I think our leagues need to be really kind of spruced up, given a bit more, I suppose, importance in the GAA calendar.
That's
as well.
Something they did in the Sunday game, actually, sorry. They actually mentioned a lot about the league performance and talked about the club as well, like, and talking about how Dave McConnelly should be considered for Player of the Year. And they did actually include all that, which is surprising for them. Well, maybe mention the Sunday game after.
We have to start going down that avenue and look over, you know, a full season. You know, a player could be unlucky, let's face it as well. A player could maybe play up to a quarter final. He might, you know, have an injury, you know, and that might stop him from playing a semi final, maybe even a final if his team do progress. But, you know, Connolly has been outstanding, outstanding even in that last game against Donegal. Well, I suppose he stuttered on occasions as well, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he had been consistent. He set himself as well up on a high pedestal, and we now come to expect, you know him to be at that level. And you know, I'm sure if you go to assess him every game, he's a good 8 every week. Maybe never a 10 and a 6, but I'm sure he's a consistent 8 every week. Come back to your point on Michael Murphy. I suppose if there was, you know, the soccer chant for Michael Murphy, it probably would go along the lines of number 1 is Michael Murphy, number 2 is Michael Murphy, number 3. You probably get the gist of that as well. You know, the man is, you know, he's immense. I've watched him in McCrory a number of seasons back against my ex-college, you could say, St. Michael's College, and he was nearly like a one-man band, really, at that stage. He was playing full forward, he was half forward, he was midfield, and he was a beast. He was like a giant amongst, you know, kids that day, and he is as well at the minute. You know, a quiet, down-to-earth lad off the pitch, and you know when he turns up and when he plays, you know, he is probably unmarkable as well. Just like, I suppose, Mr. Donaghy at the weekend. But you know, you have to look at, you know, the whole season, and for me, it has to be those players who have been consistent throughout the season and haven't been this, I suppose, this kind of one-hit wonder or two-game wonders at the end of the year. And I suppose that's where it goes back in my gripes here. Go back to, I suppose, you know, the provincial series as well, and I suppose how few games Kerry have to play to get to, you know, the pinnacle of our season, whereas, you know, Donegal have had some, you know serious encounters, and of course you can say the same maybe about, you know, Dublin and other maybe counties and other provinces where they have to play more games and play against tougher maybe opposition as well to get, you know, into those knockout stages.
Yeah, well, Pierce, what about you? Just quickly, Murphy ahead of Donaghy.
Oh, definitely for me.
Okay.
100%.
Right. Sorry, I want to move on then just very quickly. I want to talk about another performance by a Kerry man at the weekend. Pat Spillane on the Sunday game. I don't know if you've watched it afterwards, but I thought that was absolutely outrageous, the things he was saying in there. Now, you would have thought it was, you know, the Kerry team of past years that had won the All-Ireland, and they were fighting a war of defensive puke football that they were fighting against, and, like, you know, it was a, I don't know, I'd rather listen to, you know, like, a sore loser than a sore winner, to be honest. Like, I don't know what either of your take was on it, Pierce. Like, you mentioned about the Sunday game yourself earlier.
Well,
Pat Spillane is Pat Spillane.
Yeah, Pat Spillane is Pat Spillane. But I know, like, it's not a case of bashing the Sunday game either, because I think sometimes when this question comes up, people, like, maybe some people in the Sunday game might kind of get a bit defensive about it. Like, they do a fantastic job, but look, Pat
they do
Spillane,
great montages as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely
fantastic. Stop sitting on the fence here. Come on, Pierce. Come on, have a go.
We've had a go before, believe me.
But Pat has come to the point now where, as someone said, to sum him up last weekend, someone said, if an Ulster team won an All Ireland like Kerry plays, he would have had a field day criticising them. That was my biggest gripe about how he extolled this Kerry win on the weekend. And I thought it took a little bit of gloss off the win for me. And I'm sure there's Kerry people who are thinking the exact same, because it's frustrating listening to the opinions that he comes out with, because it's winding you up. It's completely winding. And I know, look, the producers might be saying, well, that's the job we set him out there to do. It's crazy. It's crazy how much praise he was heaping on this and how much he was building this. But I suppose,
I think we went full circle as well, on kind of the whole media. You could say media's kind of discussions, opinions, really, after games as well. I think we've come from, we've went from the ludicrous, if you look at the likes of Dumfries, where you're sitting and you're contemplating your sanity when you're watching the screen and you're listening to their opinions about the game, and you're sitting going, am I actually watching that game? Have I been seeing the same things they are seeing? Or am I, do I need to go maybe down to OMA, which is our maybe local clinic, and put maybe a white jacket on and strap myself up? Am I going, mad here? Or what is the kind of story? But, I think we are now becoming more
critical.
We're becoming kind of more knowledgeable about our games. There is more knowledge seeping out about every kind of sport, and we just kind of now are looking for people to be honest about games. I think that's why it's been so refreshing, people maybe tuning in to the likes of, again, Sky, not just for the Gaelic, but look at you can tune into Monday Night Football and, to hear maybe players' kind of opinions, not even just players' opinions, people who are watching the game and people who aren't trying to go against the fence and come up with ridiculous statements. People are actually now starting to enjoy that.
Yeah, but you have the likes of, say, Jamie Carragher completely destroying Liverpool, because it's an honest opinion. You will never get that on the Sunday game. Never. You will never. Well, maybe with Eamon O'Hara. It's like, but at least that was interesting, and that was maybe some people are just saying there's a different agenda to that, but it was an honest opinion, And you're saying there, Pierce, if an Ulster team won like Kerry did, if any other team, if Dublin had won playing the way Kerry did. No, I'm not saying the way Kerry. I'm not 1 minute saying that the way Kerry played was bad. I don't think it's on Kerry to have to entertain. I don't think it is at all. Yeah. I'd love to win
a
championship no matter how we played, right? But I'm saying is, if Dublin had won playing like that, Pat Spillane would have had a field day criticising it, And maybe not just Spillane, but anyone else as well. You would have had the anti-Dubs on there in that case as well. But any other county, I don't even think it would be just an Ulster case, but I'm just thinking that it's very hypocritical, and it was just something, as you say, maybe it's something people want to get wind up about, but it was just people over Twitter and that were just completely clueless to what was going on.
I think the studio now for RT, I think it has become let's see who can, first of all, I suppose, finish each kind of question, I suppose, with the loudest tone, and who can make the most ridiculous kind of point, and let's kind of stir the pot up even more and more and more, and let's see who, can be, I suppose, most critical and most annoying, and they will probably get the most follows, tweets, they will create the kind of most hype come Monday's papers, and that's where players... are crying out for, that bit of honesty. And that's where we talk about, I suppose, the professionalism, the semi-professionalism side of the game, where, players are coming home this Sunday night. They don't, they don't purposely go out to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You might be sitting watching this on a Sunday night, and, you might be getting absolutely lambasted, ridiculed, and made a laughing stock of as well at times. And that has happened. And these players have to go back to their work on Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is. and you know you're maybe already absolutely maybe borderline depressed at this stage from the weekend, having given so much of your family life and so much of your time as well up, and for you to maybe make a mistake or something to happen during the game, you know, maybe it is a sending off or rush of blood, whatever it is, for you to go into your work on a Monday and for people to be coming up and maybe having a go at you or having a go at your family or something along that lines because of idiotic statements from the Sunday game, you know, I believe, or you know, that side of it is a complete and utter disgrace, and that's something that should be reined in and definitely should be, you know, knocked back. Yes, if lads are getting, you know, 250,000 a week or 100 grand a week or 5,000 a week and they're doing it full time and it's their jobs and, you know, it's something that's in the public eye, you know, in the same manner, yes, go and have a go at them then, and players can give their own views back, and, you know, it can, I suppose, you know, be a big topic, you can say, of conversation, but not when these players, you know, are, you know, come back to their day jobs and getting passing and grief over the whole thing, and that's where I just think that they take it too far, basically.
That's why I was very, very glad that, you know, not really one of the people actually had a go at Paul Durkin, you know, like, you know, because he did make a mistake, albeit, and I was thinking of putting it a wee bit down to nerves or something like that, like talking about the early kickouts, but he's been fantastic all year, and I'm glad they then included him in the team of the year because I think he's deserved that. I don't know, maybe Pierce wants Cluxton then, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like I'm glad they did that because that was, I'd say, a very sensible thing from my point of view.
Yeah.
It's one thing actually. Just I know we'll get on to the team of the year next week, but it's something that I was watching the Sunday game with my dad on Sunday. And they were talking about the keepers, Paul Durkin and Stephen Cluxton. And he raised a good point that I actually want to get your opinions on it. That people are ignoring the great year Robbie Henley has had. And he seems to have been forgotten a little bit in terms of the good goalkeepers debate, that it's automatically Paul Durkin versus Stephen Cluxton. Mm. Like, should we be considering someone like Robbie Henley?
Yeah, or I tell you what as well, Began from Monaghan I thought was very good too. But
you probably go back to your stats and you know, again, in the team of the year, you have to start looking at I think it'd be more, I suppose, yes, you go into your analysis and have a look throughout the year and see, look at, you know, who's conceded the least goals. And again, from a keeper's perspective now, you know, maybe who's kicked the most scores. Mm-hmm. And you have to start probably taking, you know, that all that into account and you know, really looking at those averages and maybe if it is possessions, catches, you know, and I'm sure there are sites out there and there are people out there who have that information as well and go down that route. But you're right, you know, let's not write off Cluxton, outstanding, again, Began, Henley, to name a few. You know, I was amazed at the weekend when we were talking about figures and stats as well, where, you know, I'm sitting reading, I think it was the top five scorers, you know, of the championship, and we had a Fermanagh man on that, even though they had named his brother, Seamus, who actually had left the panel throughout the year, but it was actually meant to be Sean, and Sean, I think, was up there with the top scorers in the championship, maybe top five or top ten it was, and for us to only have played two games, you know, again, you know, you have to, you know, credit, you know, Sean and his ability, you know, to kick, you know, such a high tally in, you know, such a short period of time. And
it really shows the spread then, the fact that, you know, after two games, like the spread of players, you know, forward lines getting it, because I don't think, did O'Donoghue score in the final? I don't think he did, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, they were then able to rely on Donoghue to get 1-2 and, like, Gainey to get the goal and, like, things like that. But it just goes to show you the spread, really, there of that. Pierce, as you've said, we're going to have a team of the year next week. We're always going to look back at our highlights and lowlights of the of the campaign, so, or of the campaign just gone. Probably go right the way back to the very start of the year, start off there. But, I don't know. Anything else you want to add before we go?
I would like to, I suppose, wish our Fermanagh ladies at the weekend a massive, just give them a wee massive shout out, I suppose. I know they've been knocking on the door at intermediate football over the last number of years. I do know a lot of the squad, and I know, I suppose, the working commitment they have put in. So, you know, from a small county, we need to be capitalising on any chances we get as well. So I wish all the ladies all the best on Sunday and fun. unfortunately, we have blessing of the graves and can't attend the game. But my little princess in the house here has won her latest kind of Fermanagh kit and saw it signed by the ladies. So a big shout out to them and wish them all the best and obviously all the rest of the teams competing in the women's finals at the weekend as well.
Yeah, very best of luck to them. Pierce, what about you?
Just in the same sentiment, I'd like to wish the Dublin ladies best of luck. Just and I'll get it in there. Now I know two girls on the team, Sinead Finnegan and Sinead Goldrick, the captain. I know just to echo Ryan's sentiments, like it's something that I don't think gets enough coverage in this country, because I know the two girls especially, they put a huge amount into the sport and they're two tremendous athletes that do deserve a lot better from like I saw today that the Dublin County Boards and the Cork County Boards have organised the men's fixtures for Sunday, and I know there's fixture congestion at this time of the year, but
that's
like there's ways and means around us. It's an all round final, and believe me, for anybody that hasn't been actively watching it, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised by I know the Dublin and Cork game, it is going to be a good standard. So best of luck to the two Sinead's and up Dublin.
Yeah, I suppose I wish luck to Antrim in it. Oh no, wait. right, okay. Well, Antrim got a win in the Ulster Championship this year, Ryan, so
we'll not go on to that. You think these things won't come back to haunt you, but I have to put this in, sorry, as well, and finishing this, coming home obviously on Sunday night, after I suppose a glorious day, weather, and obviously being at the game, happened to go down and look, I'd take a couple of sociables and watch the highlights of the game that night. And would you believe, after watching the game, I had one young member of the public who decided to introduce himself to myself, obviously, as well, and again just completely ridiculed me about that miss against Antrim.
the clearance off the line.
And it's still going on, and he kept asking me, what would you do? You know, if you'd done it again, what would you do? And I just kept saying, well, you know, I thought I had done everything right. What would I do again? And I goes, the easy answer was score. I kept getting it in the ear, and he kept going and kept going and he kept going. And, you know, I paid £10 into this game, and you know, for you to be beat by Antrim, and you know, with him obviously believing that we are such a stronghold above Antrim, is him obviously drunk or just out of his head? Probably well, but for him to keep saying this, it just got to the stage where I actually took £10 out of my wallet and gave him the £10. There you go. Enjoy your night, and just walk off. So, the things go on and that other people don't see, but it's interesting you brought Antrim up there and how that just comes back to haunt me still. But I'm just going down to work on my shooting practice now at 11:30.
Don't worry. Thanks. We're talking about highlights. We're talking about highlights of the season next week. So don't worry. We'll talk about it then. We'll try and find the commentary on it or something. Right. Okay. Okay. That's us for this week. Anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. Get us on Twitter at GA Scores. You can find all us there as well. Pearson and Ryan, thanks for joining me, and we'll talk to you next week.
Holy Moses!
I tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, you know, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move! Move!
Yeah.
taking off my ring now. I walk on through the door, and every little lady shaking on the dance floor, laughing to my friends, loosening up my tie. I'm a getting older Casanova, one thing, oh.